This is a Shift Podcast Network production.
Welcome to Here and Back Again. I'm David O'Callaghan, and this is a podcast looking at all things releasing weekly on streaming and in cinemas, with a bit of pop culture knickknacks thrown in. As we always say on here, it's not the quantity of content dropping that counts, it's the quality. And boy, oh boy, do we have a week of some cracking doozies. I mean box office stuff, people. Box office! The world of streaming and cinema this week is your oyster, or something like that. Anyway, so, shall we begin?
Welcome to Last One Laughing Ireland. 10 of our finest comedians, a very important mission. To make each other laugh, whilst resisting the urge to laugh themselves.
I love laughing. I don't know why I'm here.
If you do, you're out of here.
If you laugh now, I think your family get taken away.
Jeez, not again.
All right,
let's go.
I should have dubbed this episode Vax 3D, The Return, because I've noticed my, editing my Mariella Fostrop-esque voice this week. Yes, people, if you're going to get a COVID booster, make sure you sleep for 24 hours because, god damn it, it kicks you in the nuts every time. It's supposed to be better each time, but no. Oh, anyway, we will. Do you know what? Not all heroes wear capes. Some do podcasts, you know that? And struggle on. Speaking of struggling on and brightening up my day and my life, LOL, Last One Laughing Ireland on Prime Video is now up and ready. And, oh, my God. My God, Graham Norton oversees 10 Irish comedians across 6 hours and 6 episodes, where the aim of the game is not to laugh. Shacked up in what feels like a kind of a Big Brother sitting room, Graham watches on from the control room, where upon spotting a smirk or a smile or even a laugh, he pops in with a yellow card given for the first offence and a red card for the second offence. The person who manages to make the others laugh without losing it themselves will win €50,000 for their chosen charity. Having seen the first 2 episodes, I can promise you this: you will be snotting yourself repeatedly. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous the shenanigans this lot get up to. So far the standouts, Aisling B, Jason Byrne, Amy Huberman, the Hoobs, and Paul Tylak. Oh my God, that poetry you're reading, it almost broke me. Broke me in half. Watching them all trying to hold it in is the genius of the show. I mean, you'll die. You'll absolutely die. Graham is a wonderful host and is kind of embracing it wholeheartedly, kind of a Eurovision vibe off it, while the special guests, oh my God, the special guests. If you haven't watched the trailer, do not watch the trailer, just avoid it. Also, at the end of each episode, they have a kind of a coming up piece, like what's coming up next. Do yourself a favour, don't watch that either, because you're about to watch the next episode, because there's more spoilers. You just go with the flow and avoid all spoilers, and oh my God, embrace the glorious madness of this hilarious insanity, which will 1,000,000,000% blow away those cobwebs of gloomy grey January. Special shout out to producer Stu, Stony Batter's finest. Wonderful job, sir. Wonderful job. It is a beautiful thing. That's LOL, Last One Laughing Ireland, now on Prime Video. Bring the tissues to wipe away that snot, because it's going to get messy. The pain in my sides. Anyway, I'll shut up now. I'll go back to chuckling to myself.
You must be the doctor everyone speaks so fondly of.
I was not born into a life of wealth. I do not have the luxury of being able to cause trouble and get away with it.
Hello, Dutch.
What the hell are you doing here, Fagin?
Do they hang escaped convicts here?
This isn't London, Jack. There's nowhere to hide.
If I don't come up with a year's worth of income, I get my hand chopped off.
Which one?
My choice.
Well, there's something.
The Artful Dodger on Disney Plus is set in 1850s Australia in the lively colony of Port Victor. Jack Dawkins is the Artful Dodger, played here by Thomas Brodie Sangster, and he's turned his life around. Turned it around from his pickpocketing fingers on the streets of London and into the skilled hands of a surgeon in Australia. However, Dodger's past returns to haunt him with the arrival of Fagin, played here by a fantastic scene-stealing David Chulis, who lures him back, yes, into the world of crime. Another threat also comes in the form of Lady Bell, played by Maya Mitchell, the governor's daughter, who is determined to become the colony's first female surgeon, and also appears to be stealing Purell Hawkins's heart. From heists to gruesome surgeries, from plot twists to backstabbing portrayals, all with a gloriously pounding, energetic soundtrack, this breathless action-packed series is an absolute delight. It's fantastic and comes highly recommended from me. Everyone here is on board and acting throughout with wild, hammy abandon, and I am here for that. So, a nice little sneaky surprise for January. That's The Artful Dodger. All 8 episodes are now up on Disney+.
I'm getting out of this place.
It's our home.
She gets real. Saving myself.
So where do you live?
Kitchen.
It's really like what it tastes like.
Yeah.
You see it by yourself.
The Kitchen on Netflix is a... Yeah, this one's a bit slightly gloomier. It's a bit dystopian. Set in London, it's actor Daniel Kaluuya's directorial debut alongside co-director Kibwe Tavares. Set in a world where the gap between the haves and the have-nots has never been wider, Izzy's close to escaping the kitchen, one of London's last remaining housing estates. But when young Benji enters his life, he faces some hard decisions. Coming across as Children of Men meets Top Boy, this will definitely appeal to those who enjoy a gritty, grimy, atmospheric drama in their viewing habits. I would say definitely worth a nose. That is The Kitchen, which is now on Netflix. One of the best sci-fi movies of recent years, Gareth Edwards' The Creator, finally lands free to stream on Disney+. This one stars John David Washington, Gemma Chan, Ken Watanabe and Allison Janney, and comes to us from the guy who gave us the sensational Rogue One. And if you remember from the cinema review, it's set amidst a future war between the human race and the forces of AI. Oh my lord. This is a thing of stunning gorgeousness. Gorgeousness. I cannot recommend it enough. I've seen it twice in the cinema and already have cleared my weekend diary and prep to watch it again. So that's the awesome and very classy sci-fi flick, The Creator, which is now on Disney+. Another movie recently at cinemas which got rave reviews and is the Finnish entry for Best International Feature Film at the 96th Academy Awards and was one of the 15 finalists named in the December shortlist, Fallen Leaves is now streaming on Mubi. Ansa, a single woman, lives and works in a supermarket in Helsinki, and one night she meets Holappa, an equally lonely and alcoholic dependent worker, and despite adversity and misunderstandings, they try to build a relationship. Despite being a low-key com and rom, this one has been getting all the raves for its honest look at relationships and their hang-ups. Absolutely gorgeous, Fallen Leaves is now streaming on Mubi. And finally, from the big screen, or maybe not the big screen because this one never made it there, The Marsh King's Daughter finally turns up on Prime Video. This is a tense thriller based on the novel of the same name, where a woman, played by Daisy Ridley, returns to the wilds of her youth to face the man known as the Marsh King. He's a bad man, folks. He's a bad man. Ben Mendelsohn also stars, I'll let you guess which character he is, with some half-decent performances and directed by Neil Berger. If you're looking for a psychological thriller to pass your weekend, then The Marsh King's Daughter is now on Prime Video.
I wake up. Bright light blinding us. Taser goes off. And I see they're wearing wetsuits.
What did they swim in? So what happens next?
Then asked Denise to tie my hands behind my back.
Did she, like, discover something?
Found text messages.
Is she mad? Oh, she's you cheating? There's blood in your house.
Do you know where she is?
didn't do anything.
Yeah, you did.
Oh my God, it's her.
In the new true crime documentary, American Nightmare, on Netflix, after a harrowing home invasion and kidnapping in 2015, a couple is accused of staging the ordeal when the woman reappears out of the blue. This new docuseries comes from the filmmakers behind, yes, The Tinder Swindler. Oh gods, get in there, let's go. As they go on a deep dive into this shocking, twisty tale which invited national media scrutiny, with many comparing it to the 2012 Gillian Flynn novel Gone Girl. Did it happen? Was it make-believe? Was it all one big attention-seeking scheme? Who knows? Incorporating a mix of interrogation footage and new interviews, the three-part docuseries unravels the consequences of the cultural rush to judgment. And what happens when law enforcement decides the truth can't possibly be true? That's the binge-tastic true crime docuseries from the Tindler Swindler crew, American Nightmare, Bring It On, which has all three episodes now up on Netflix. The Love Spectrum returns to Netflix for its second season, a reality dating show in which seven young adults on the autism spectrum dive headfirst into the dating pool, exploring the unpredictable world of love and relationships. From the laughter highs to the blubbing lows, season one was a huge success for Netflix and even won them an Emmy. This one is so far removed from the vacuous insanity that is Love is Blind. I'm not judging you. I'm not judging anyone. I'm not judging you at all, I swear. Be warned, you may need a box of tissues for this one. The Love Spectrum, season two, is now on Netflix.
Would you welcome June Carter Cash?
June Carter Cash.
Welcome. June Carter Cash.
Who is June Carter Cash? Well, she's a badass bitch, first off.
I don't think I've ever really known a life any different than show business.
She's one of the most talented women in country music.
June's songs are based on emotion.
You couldn't deny her. She had this spark, the it.
Oh, thank you. You almost made me cry.
June Carter Cash is the subject of a new documentary, June, on Paramount Plus, which shines a spotlight on both her career and her impact on country music. With never-before-seen archival material and interviews with Carter Cash, as well as with her family, friends, etc., this is a must-watch for any country fans out there, or, well, any music fans in general, as she was, indeed, a bit of a legend. Do not forget, she was a five-time Grammy Award-winning singer, comedian, musician, actor, and author. Her remarkable career saw her open for Elvis. What now? She appeared on screen opposite Robert Duvall and Jane Seymour, and co-wrote one of the most recognisable country songs of all time in Ring of Fire. Often overshadowed by her iconic husband Johnny, this documentary tells her remarkable story. That's June, which is now on Paramount Plus. Looking at some quality non-English content that's dropping this week, some wee little crackers here. First up, we have A Shop of Killers on Disney Plus, which is a new South Korean series that tells the story of Jeong Ji-an, who becomes the target of some highly skilled killers due to the dangerous legacy left by her uncle, who died unexpectedly and seemed to have run some sort of shady and sketchy shopping mall. While under attack, she must uncover what the hell is going on and what all the assassins are in search of. A whole lot of action fun going on here. That's A Shop for Killers, now on Disney+. Another Korean drama, The Bequeathed, also lands this week, this time on Netflix. After the death of an unknown uncle, it's all about uncles this week, a woman inherits a burial ground and finds herself in the centre of a string of murders and dark secrets. Unfortunately, she also was never told about having a sketchy half-brother who was also attempting to claim the land. Murder, mystery, mayhem. That's the new K-drama, The Bequeathed, now on Netflix. In the German sports action drama, 60 Minutes, on Netflix, desperate to keep custody of his daughter, a mixed martial arts fighter abandons a big fight and races across Berlin to attend her birthday party or risk losing her forever. Hot, fit, action boy, shiny sports cars, and a race against the clock. Yeah, sign me up. 60 Minutes is now on Netflix. And finally, in the non-English section, Cristobal Balenciaga is a new Spanish biodrama on Disney Plus, which tells the story of renowned fashion designer Cristobal Balenciaga, leaving behind a successful career in his workshops in Madrid and San Sebastian, where he dressed the Spanish elite, and moving to Paris in 1937. Initially, all is not well, as the designs of fashion that had a trend in Spain don't seem to work quite so well in the sophisticated empire of fashion that is Paris, where Chanel, Dior and Givenchy are setting the trends. Adapting quickly and reinventing himself, this series follows this tale as he grows in importance and reputation within the Parisian fashion scene. Beautifully shot, and well, if you're into style and fashion, then you'll be all over this. All 6 episodes are now up on Disney Plus. That's Cristobal Balenciaga.
Well, hello there, you wayward sinner. Do you like blood, violence, and depravity of a sexual nature?
Oh, Daddy, Do you really expect me to memorize this whole script?
Of course you do! That's why you're in hell! What would you say if I told you there was a place to stay that had none of that? Welcome to the Has-Been Hotel. Your last desperate attempt at salvation starts here.
So, what do you think?
Has-Been Hotel on Prime Video is most definitely the weirdest and freakiest release of this week. An adult animated series, which is A24's first foray into animation, along with the help of the folks who created Bob's Burgers. This musical comedy centers on Charlie, a princess of hell, who seeks to rehabilitate demons so that they can find their way into heaven. To say that this is a batshit would be an absolute understatement. To say it's also very charming with a heart of gold behind the expletives and sexual depravity on show would not be a lie either. That's Has-Been Hotel, which is now up on Prime Video. And finally, this week in streaming, if mind-bending, crazy anime is your jam, Mabaroshi, the movie, is now on Netflix. After a mysterious explosion at a local factory, a town is frozen in time where the residents are forcing themselves to relive the same day over and over again. But, alas, when a mysterious girl arrives, it upsets the balance of the worlds. Freaky Groundhog Day anime, what's not to love? Mabaroshi is now on Netflix. And there you go. Absolutely chock-a-block quality streaming content. Plenty to sink your teeth into. But if you want to take those teeth out, put them in a glass of water and head out to your local cinema and suck on a tall, ice-cold Coke Zero, well, there are some home dingers releasing in the cinema this week.
Every year at Barton Academy, students, faculty, and staff depart the campus for a 2-week winter break. But there are always an unfortunate few who have nowhere to go for the holidays. They're known as the holdovers.
Mr. Hunnam.
Hello, Mary.
I heard you got stuck with babysitting duty this year. How'd you manage that?
You know, he used to be a student, right?
Yeah, that's why he knows how to inflict maximum pain on us.
I thought all the Nazis were hiding in Argentina.
Stifle it, Tully.
In The Holdovers, a curmudgeonly, cranky, grumpy teacher at a New England prep school remains on campus during Christmas break to babysit a handful of students with nowhere to go. He soon forms an unlikely bond with a brainy but somewhat damaged teen troublemaker and also with the school's head cook, a woman who has her own crosses to bear. Starring all the awards winners, oh my god, Paul Giamatti, Davine Joy Randolph and Dominic Sessa as the teenager in his debut acting role. This, folks, is another way this week of how to get you out of that January funk. Sweet, sweet, beautiful, beautiful movie. Beautiful! This movie is so expertly set in the 1970s that you actually think you are watching a movie made in the 1970s. I fell in love with this movie pre-Christmas, lucky to see it then, and literally just saw it again last night, and my loving opinion has now grown into an obsession. Even the trailer for it is done like a 70s trailer. It's mad stuff. The characters, the subtleties, the engaging, wonderful world building. At times it felt almost like it had that It's a Wonderful Life warmth about it, and I was just taken away. Alexander Payne, who did Sideways, The Descendants, Election and About Schmidt, directs, And yes, pulls off that Christmas miracle, even though it's January. A wonderful soundtrack, kind of just plays throughout, some absolute cracking songs there, which did give me some Tenenbaums vibes. And yeah, I wholeheartedly urge you, I demand you go see this movie. It is a thing of glorious beauty. Just do it. Treat yourself. You will not regret it. And if you want to see who is the only threat to Cillian Murphy getting an Oscar, well, here's Paul Giamatti staring you in the face and challenging our boy. Going to be a close run thing. I still think Cillian will get it, but Divine Joy Randolph has it in the bag for supporting actress. I cannot see her losing that one. So these are reasons to go see this beautiful movie. So that is The Holdovers, which is now in cinemas.
What was that?
Oh Lord, it's the queen bee.
Regina George.
Don't look her in the eye.
You could be really hot if we change like everything. I met a guy in the
summer and I left him in the spring. Welcome to Health and Human Sexuality.
We'll be getting into abstinence, of course, then followed by in the spring condoms and choking.
You're learning things now that I don't know how to teach.
Are you okay in there? We're concerned you're either doing drugs or having a toilet baby.
Ew.
Another week, another new musical that the Hollywood studios weirdly wish to hide the fact that they're a musical. What? They did it with Wonka, they're doing it with The Color Purple, and they did it again with this reboot / resuit of the classic movie Broadway musical spin-off. I get that Hollywood studios are worried that a few big musicals recently have bombed, but hiding it in the trailer is very, very weird. In the US last weekend, according to a survey, about 20% of those who went to see it on the opening weekend didn't know it was a musical. And boy oh boy, were they pissed. What? It's kind of a pity because I absolutely adored, loved, had a blast at this movie. I didn't think it would be possible for this reboot resuit to come even near the classic original, which I love, but with it being updated to include social media and the added pressures which that brings, I felt it was more than just a rehash. Obviously, it's based on the Broadway musical, but despite all the singing, so much singing, it felt more like a movie than just one of those stage show rehashes on screen that kind of bore me. Like, I can go to the theatre. I don't need to see a rehash. I need to see something new, which is what this is. Renee Rapp, who takes over Rachel McAdams' role in this one, I'm just going to say, was sensational. And don't at me. But she gives Rachel McAdams a run for her money. I know, hashtag controversial, but you have to see her to believe it. Oh my God, superstar alert incoming. She is formidable. The whole cast were so much fun and going for it hell for leather. And with Tina Fey updating her script and again rejoining the cast, along with Tim Meadows, it was a blast. It was an absolute blast. Also, I haven't heard this many musical bangers at the multiplex since The Greatest Showman. Ah, The Greatest Showman. Them were the days. Ah, do you remember that sing-along night? Oh, that was, yeah, anyway. As for the Moët, we will never forget the Moët. This was a thrill and having been disappointed by Wonka's meh songs, I know, Divine Comedy and Neil Hannon heads are given out to me, but I don't care, I thought the Wonka songs were average. This was unbelievable. If the original Mean Girls is represented here as the plastics, then this movie is a worthy representation of Katie Heron and her character attempting to take the original's throne and succeeding in many instances. I loved, loved, loved this movie. I would highly recommend seeing it with a crowd or a group of mates and a few Bellinis. More quality stuff to perk your January funk up in style. Mean Girls, the musical, because seemingly it is a musical, is now at cinemas. Get to it. I've actually even been listening to the soundtrack since I got over, and yeah, I will go again. I will definitely go again. Anybody wants to come along with me, please shout. I'll pay for the Bellinis. And finally this week, less cheery than the rest, in The End We Start From, a woman tries to find her way home with her newborn while an environmental crisis submerges London in floodwaters. Jodie Comer plays the lead in this dystopian environmental indie flick. But now, when I say environmental movie, this is not Deep Impact or The Day After Tomorrow, but low-key, low-budget, more of a character study set in that dystopian world. Listen, Jodie Comer queuing up at the post office to pay her television license. I'd watch that. She is just a fantastic actress who here holds the film together. Should you go to cinema to see it? Probably not. Should you watch it whenever it turns up on streaming? A bajillion percent. So that is The End We Start From, which is now on limited release at cinemas. And that is your cinema for the week. See, I told you. Absolute gems. Gems for everybody. What else we got here? Oh, music. Music-wise, there's only one album to talk about this week. I'm very excited. Very, very excited. The American dream is killing me. The American dream is killing me. When it's all double talk of conspiracy. The American dream is killing me. Send out an SOS. Let's get. Yes, 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 yes. Green Day released their 14th studio album, Saviors, this week. And judging by the songs already released and early reviews, a lot of folks are saying they've gotten out of their recent meh, ho-hum funk. And this is their best album since American Idiot, which, believe it or not, is 20 years old this year. For feck's sake. And you know what? Also, if you want to feel even older, Dookie is 30 years old. Oh my god. Where has the time gone? Anyways, with a big outdoor summer show in Ireland later this year, and the band confirming that they will be playing both Dookie and American Idiot in full at the concert, what's not to love? So that is Saviors from Green Day, which is now out in the wild. And if you're up, you know, if you're up for a bit more of a kind of a post-punk mood, this week Little Rope is released, and that is the 11th studio album for Sleater-Kinney. And just so you know, that's also out there for your ears to gorge on. Right, so that's your music. What we got next? Oh yes, a quick look at, not the busiest week, but three things that we noticed in pop culture. First up, according to the Hollywood Trades, Universal has optioned rights to the Red Hot Chili Peppers frontman's Anthony Kiedis. His autobiography, Scar Tissue. Universal most recently dabbled with the NWA biopic Straight Outta Compton. So that's a good sign. They know their music. Scar Tissue, which is basically a father and son story featuring substance abuse, LA punk scene in the 70s and 80s. And along with the rise of the Chili Peppers to worldwide domination. Yeah, this could be fun. Getting the casting right for the lead role is going to be a hella lot of... it's going to be an interesting watch. Watch the people lose their minds as Robert Pattinson. No. Anyway, Brian Grazer, who won an Oscar way back in the day for A Beautiful Mind, is down to produce. Next up, we spoke last week about how Parker Posey, Jason Isaacs and Michelle Monaghan were to feature in the new cast lineup for White Lotus Season 3, set in Thailand. Well, 7 days later, you can now add Walton Goggins, Patrick Schwarzenegger, Carrie Coon and Amy Lou Wood. Boy oh boy, just gets better and better. I'm predicting Walton Goggins and Carrie Coon to be the possible breakout characters of this season, assuming they stay alive long enough in the show. That's the very exciting White Lotus Season 3, which is starting to film and won't be here till next year. And finally, sad news for hipsters everywhere, music website Pitchfork got the terrible news this week as they are set to be merged into men's magazine GQ online, with several senior staff and a lot of others losing their jobs. Publisher Condé Nast, who acquired them in 2015, announced the changes and the resulting layoffs this week in an email out of the blue from Chief Content Officer Anna Vinter. Yes, that Anna Vinter. Pitchfork started in 1996 as an independent music blog out of the US state of Minnesota, and despite being slagged off for many a year for its quite serious approach to reviews, etc., many still felt it was one of those rare independent music content websites that, you know what, was kind of relevant in these modern times, where it's all now just comes down to a number, a percentage, whether it's Rotten Tomatoes or Metacritic. So sad, sad times, despite what you thought of them. Sticking a pitchfork in it, that's Condé Nast. Right, that's us done. It's absolutely Baltic in the gaff here. I think we'll leave it at that. If I was going to shout out my must-sees this week, it was a tough one. It's, you know, it's a bit of a belter week. The Creator, American Nightmare, Mean Girls, The Artful Dodger, all good. But the two I would have to put at the top of your weekend watch list, because they're quite epic. Think of it as a Kermit Street double. LOL, Last One Laughing, Ireland on Prime Video, and The Holdovers at cinemas. These will warm the cockles of your heart in these freezing moments. Because, Jesus, I can't feel me toes. Can't feel me toes or move me lips. So, this is David O'Callaghan for the Here and Back Again podcast, wishing you all the best. Stay warm. And until next week, stay safe. And put the blanket on. And then, being chappy. Well, hello there, post-credits traveler. Welcome yet again. Da-da-da-da-da. Ah, yes, a place where absolute nonsense lives happily away, hidden away from the world. And this week, well, I'm warning you now, this is an absolute hardcore nerd section. I mean, hardcore documentary nerd section, and I mean all one of you, or maybe two of you. In case you didn't know, the King of Kong, A Fistful of Quarters, was a 2007 documentary. It blew my mind, it sent me over the edge, it had me shouting at the screen. Named Video Game Player of the Century in 1999, Billy Mitchell sets a record score in Donkey Kong that many felt would never, never be broken. So in 2003, Steve Wiebe, who has recently lost his job, learns about the record, builds his own arcade machine, and sets out to beat it. And that is your documentary, that is your story. It's a tale of good versus evil, dark versus light, dork versus villain. It's an absolute piece of genius, and Billy Mitchell is unbelievable. He is embracing the heel role. He is all swagger and douche confidence. You have to see this guy and his mullet to believe him. Well, just this week, it was revealed, big reveal for those two people listening, after years of investigation over cheating allegations, Billy Mitchell has had his Donkey Kong records reinstated. And the dark side has its victory and eventually has won the day. Told you this was hardcore nerdy shit. All I'll say is it's out there in the land of streaming. It's not, unfortunately, on free streaming, but you can get it for $1.99 on iTunes or something like that. But you have to. King of Kong. Unbelievable. And there you go. With that, and to send us away into the night. I don't know why, but this song popped into my head when I was writing this bit. And I've always felt it kind of would make a great mood-building sports ball montage, you know, for a big game. Has slightly ominous overtones. And yeah, so Billy, this one's for you. And feel free to play your eardrums to your heart's content. Thank you.
waiting for this moment for all my life.